from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, when she was a girl and a young girl, and she told this cockamamie story about being a mother of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, revealed to her by the angel Gabriel, which her friend, you know, her family and friends were, say, maybe just a little hesitant to buy into this story. Could she have expected this? When Joseph insisted on keeping her as his betrothed and took her with him to Bethlehem to be counted for the census, did she envision this? When they brought their 40-day-old baby to the temple to be cleansed, to be for the rites of presentation and for her own purification, and that white-haired Simeon added the footnote to his prophecy, "A sword will pierce through your soul also," speaking to Mary. Did she picture this? When she and Joseph were anxiously searching the caravan and then ended up in the temple when they were looking for 12-year-old Jesus, only to find him, and when he told them, "Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Did she understand that this was going to be the end? Even when they were at the wedding at Cana, and she received the polite rebuke for asking him to deal with this drought of wine, did she think she was only 3 years from seeing this? When she heard the rumors of his actions in the temple to manufacture a whip and drive out the otherwise peaceful merchants that were selling animals for sacrifice, did she think that it was all going to culminate in this? And when she followed him on the way from Jerusalem to Golgotha, did she think the trip would be so final, so irreversible? Mary, did you know? How could you? How could she have known? Now, the Lutheran confessions are very clear. If you refuse to call Mary the Mother of God, that is, to say that Mary, who is the God-bearer, is his mother, if you refuse to say that, then you're a Nestorian heretic. Now, Nestorius was in the 4th and 5th century. Nestorius wanted to defend the divinity of Jesus, so they argued that Mary couldn't be the mother of God. She must merely be the mother of the human part of Christ. Because no woman could give birth to God, right? Wrong. Because she is indeed the mother of God, and it is absolutely necessary to say so. God and man are inseparable in the one person of Christ. You can't separate half and half. The holy, the way we say it, I call it, you know, holy arithmetic. Jesus is 100% God and 100% man, and 100 and 100 is Jesus. It's holy math. He's not 50-50. He's not a demigod of Greek legend. He is absolutely fully human and fully God. They are inseparably one in the person of Jesus Christ. So in other words, God has a mother, which is uncomfortable for us to say. But beware, because if you confess Mary to be the mother of God, you'll risk all of your personal security. If who Mary bore in her womb is truly God, this is going to undo all of your excuses, especially those excuses about God. If the one who is for 9 months in Mary's womb, first a zygote, then a blastocyst, then an embryo, and then a fetus, then you can no longer claim that unborn people are not truly people. Unborn children are not truly people. You see, if the one who inhabits his mother's womb for 9 months is truly God, our pretensions that a mother can freely choose to abort her unborn babies are sinful and absolutely wrong. If Mary is the mother of God, then as our psalmist said, children are truly a blessing from God to be received without reservation. If what this woman has borne in her body is truly God, then God is truly man. And man's only hope for salvation is in the offspring of this woman. If the man that she bears is truly God, then men have hope. Then you and I have hope. You see, if she gives the eternal second person of the Trinity flesh, then those of us who also have human flesh, well, we have a Savior. But no one, or almost no one, wants this woman to be the mother of God. Some people will shy away from calling Mary the Theotokos, that word that I gave to the children, the Greek word Theotokos, the mother of God. Because to say that the person that she bore in her womb is truly God is to admit in many ways that our flesh, on which we rely on for many of our daily tasks, isn't up to doing the works that God requires. To call Mary the mother of God is to say that our flesh, with all of its inclinations to want to be its own God, our human flesh always wants to be the God that we have. To reject the name of God, to refuse the Sabbath rest and the word weekly, to dishonor and disobey our parents and other authorities, to harm our neighbor's life and body, marriage, property, and reputation, and to be discontent with whatever our Heavenly Father gives, that body, our flesh, is not simply weak. It's an abject failure. If Mary bears in her womb the second person of the Trinity, then we have to look for hope and salvation outside of ourselves. We can't solve it by ourselves, in ourselves. It doesn't come from inside of us. It has to come from outside of us. Salvation can only come from outside of us. And brothers and sisters in Christ, she is the mother of God. In her womb, and thereafter, God is man. God has been a zygote, a blastocyst, an embryo, a fetus, a baby, a toddler, an adolescent, a teenager, a young man, and a man. If we are or have been any of those, or woman, if you will, then our hope can only be in Christ. Behold the man. Behold the man. He calls her woman. That's what he calls his mother. First, he calls her woman there at Cana. He calls her woman, and then on the cross, he calls her woman again. But the one who is hanging, dying on the cross, is not merely her son, he's also her Savior. He's also the one that saves us, saves her, and saves you, and saves me. He exists to save all people, including you and me, from their sins. This is Mary's son, who was appointed for the rising and fall of many in Israel, who is the salvation of Israel and Gentiles alike. Behold the man, the promised seed of the woman sent to crush the head of the serpent, who since the fall has enslaved all mankind. Behold the man who redeems all mankind. Behold the man, who actually cared enough to use his dying breath to take care of his mother. Behold the man who cared enough to use his dying to save her and you and me and everyone. Behold the man, Jesus Christ, your brother. and your Savior. And now we are part of the bride of Christ. We're part of the church, our mother, if you will. Behold, our mother, the bride of Christ, our mother, his church. From her womb, from the church's womb, the font, the baptismal font, he has given you and me new life. He caused us to be reborn through water and the Spirit. Behold our mother, in whose care we receive forgiveness day after day. Behold the only place where our sins have rich and full forgiveness. So behold the man who redeems men and women in the place and the instruments of his church. That's what the church is here for, is to forgive sins and send us out to bring others so their sins might be forgiven as well. Mary is truly the Mother of God. She absolutely is. And God is truly the Savior of sinners. Jesus, the God-man, Jesus, the man, our brother, our flesh, who alone, he's the only one who can offer himself on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He's the only one. No one else is as sinless. So Mary, did you know, she could have never expected this. Nor could we. This man is God. And this God is man dying for you and me. So behold the man. Behold our Savior. Behold our salvation. Behold our God. Behold the man. Amen and amen. And now may the peace of God.